This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Wanna be the greatest of all time. Yeah, yeah. Wanna be the greatest of all time. Yeah, yeah. Wanna be the greatest of all time. The greatest. Yeah. Yo, what's up, y'all? Welcome to another one, man. It's your boy Raw One, and this is Sparking Conversation. And y'all know what I do each and every week. I get up here and I talk to some of the world's most interesting people. And y'all know I'm going to do the same thing this week. It's definitely going down. But y'all know how I do. Before we get into all that, I got to give thanks. Thanks to all the people that download the audio version of this platform. Because y'all the real MVPs. I try to tell all my people that do this platform thing or this content thing that, look, I get it. This whole visual thing and the way that everybody seems to go viral because of their videos, I get it. I understand, you know. So, of course, we do it all. But these platforms and what podcasting is basically an audio version. It's an audio-based genre business, right? So a lot of people miss that part, right? I know a lot of people who have, they have their video versions or they do it live on Facebook and all that. I'm not knocking none of that. I'm saying do it all. But don't forget, like, you know, the main purpose of having this platform is the conversation that you have with people, regardless of how what style your platform is. So please make sure y'all pay attention. And if this is something that y'all seriously going to do, make sure you distribute the audio version of your platform. Just like, go ahead and get it out there. Do things from a perspective of it being always business and not so much of, you know, what you can get out of it, but what you can put into it. You know what I'm saying? So don't forget that. So double shout out to all the people who download the audio version. What we want to do is always give a shout out to the sponsors. Y'all already know how we give it up. Shout out to Second Round. Y'all go click the link in the description and check out all the things that Second Round does. It will help you stay in the game. That's something that I want to make sure that I reiterate. Stay in the game. It's a lot of men out here. It's a lot of women out here. A lot of y'all not taking the right supplements, right vitamins. Your bodies are not really acting the way it's supposed to. So if you kind of take some things that are all natural, and that's what I want y'all to do. Pay attention to the things that are all natural. Don't always pay attention to the things that come with that little commercial that have people riding bikes. And then at the end of the commercial says, and if you or your loved one ever been affected by. So if you know that just because your doctor told you to take this and then now you can't do nothing else without it, then I'm trying to help you understand that there's ways that you can get back in tune with nature. Right? That's getting back in tune with yourself. So Second Round, y'all make sure y'all check them out. The Atlas Wine, I want to make sure that I shout them out. The Atlas Wine, yes, yes, yes. Y'all know it's 2025 in the springtime. We have the wine pop-ups. It's going to be dope. It's going down. I'm going to have the wine out there so all of my grown-ups to taste. And we're going to see if we can get this in the mix, all right? Who else? Oh, smelling good. What y'all smelling like, right? Because look, it's cold. It's too cold. right? For people to be musty. It's too cold for people to smell like they skipped some steps in the morning. But what I want to make sure that y'all understand that Aroma Air, the fragrance company, they have partnered up with Sparking Conversation. They want y'all to go out there and make sure y'all check the links on them. They have body oil fragrance sprays, right? And then they have lotions, they have shower gels. And so it's oil, right? And the oil base is aloe. You know, it doesn't have any alcohol in it. So that way, if any of you are irritant and all these other things of alcohol, as to why you might smell like you ran a marathon and it'd be so early. But what I want y'all to do is to understand that, you know, a lot of times most people, they don't understand the difference between the two when it comes down to the oil and when it comes down to the alcohol version. I just think that either way it go, if you get the oil version and you like the alcohol version, you can always balance off and switch off. But either way it go, the way you smell is important. You walk into a room, sometimes that gives the impression before you do. And a lot of times people don't understand that, you know, the senses is what we have to attack in all things that we're doing. Remember, that's why people only go fly off of the video versions of things they do. Why? Because we attack a sense. We attack two senses at one time, the visual and the hearing. We attack those. So at the end of the day, whenever you walk into a room, that's the same thing. Now you get to attack three. I'm just trying to give y'all game. I know I'm being a little funny and that's all good. We got to have some humor out here in the world. But what I'm saying to y'all is that when you're attacking certain senses and then you can please those senses, a lot of time out of 10, you're able to move to the next level quicker than a person who just got everything, every box checked on their resume. You got to understand it's a way two things, right? We keep talking about 1+1 getting the 2, but they say 0+2 get the 2. I don't even know if that, I don't even make sense. You know what? Don't even worry about that. All right, y'all, forget I even said that. All right. But I think y'all get the point, right? All right, back. So shout out to all the sponsors. Shout out to everybody. Java Burn. You know, shout out to everybody, man. You know what I'm saying? Y'all make sure y'all click the links in the description and y'all get some more information. And let's get to it, all right? Okay. So I have an amazing guest that's coming on tonight. So before we get to them, y'all know I got to give y'all my take for the week. Y'all, it's been going down all week. The main thing that's been going down is the wildfires, right? We they still been dealing with the cold front over on the East Coast. But yeah, not so much so. We want to talk about what's going on over there in California. Because let me be honest with y'all, man. Like, I get it. People have been talking about wildfires in California since like the 1800s, right? They've been catching fire. Things have been catching on fire. They've been rebuilding and putting back again. Rebuilding and putting back again. Just in California alone, right? All right, so back. But, you know, something seems a little bit strange about this time right here, y'all. And because one thing that I know that people cannot do unless they can control it, they can't predict nature. So the way that this fire was burning through, the way that it just happened to just have this perfect blend with the wind out of all, you know, out of everywhere, and all of these other things that's happened, and to the places that got burnt. You know, I can't help, but I want y'all to, you know, y'all can always leave your comments or whatever. Tell me how y'all feel about this. It's just my personal opinion. I just don't think that this was just a natural disaster. I think this was done on purpose. And the reason why I'm saying that I feel like this is done on purpose is because, like, listen, where in the world would you know that you're known for something and then you're not prepared for it? It doesn't make sense. If you're known for having wildfires in your county or in your state, then that means that you would do the right things, right? You would build reservoirs that hold rainwater. You wouldn't have the pumps turned off. Do you know in order for no water pressure to not be able to run through those pipes, that means that the water pumps was turned off. Like, why would you turn off the water pumps? Like, you know that your state suffers from wildfires. And another reason why you know is because you don't clean up your forest. We know that. Every time there is a wildfire, y'all leave the stuff that fell and all that other stuff there. So whenever another one comes, it just got more to just grasp onto and make it bigger. It doesn't make sense to me. And then look at State Farm, man. Look, State Farm, I'm going to be honest with y'all, man. I don't know anybody who would want to rock with y'all right now, because how y'all going to just cancel policies 3 months before this happened? right? It leads me to think that y'all already got the drop that this was going to happen. Y'all drop coverage, but not only that, y'all drop coverage on people who ain't never been linked, who have been paying their policies and stuff all time and the whole nine, just in case something like this happened. You drop them, pull out of the state, and now this happened. But the one thing that, for me, that sparked the fire in me, that made me feel like all of this was on purpose, because, look, y'all know what the new administration said that they was coming to do. Now, the one thing that they said they was coming to do, on top of the main things, they said they was going to go ahead and handle that border, right? But they also said that they was going to get out here and get to these children and find out where they are and why they missing. So it just so happens that, you know, some of the wealthiest places and houses and homes and stuff are completely burnt. And then, you know, we heard that there's about 24 tragedies.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
That's, you know, that have came from this wildfire, which is, you know, rest in peace to them, man. You know what I'm saying? My heart goes out to anybody that lost anyone due to this wildfire that's going on out here. But at the end of the day, it wasn't nobody home. So the wildfire come out of nowhere, but everybody is outside. Everybody is gone. No one's home. And then this stuff is burning completely to the ground. What's being covered up? I don't know. Sometimes, y'all, I have to put things in common sense. Sometimes you can't just go by what the mainstream media is telling us. Sometimes we got to use our common sense and think about it, y'all. Yeah, a lot of people lost some things, and yeah, it's a lot of people displaced right now, and yeah, it's not cool at all. I'm trying to tell y'all, like, none of this is cool, and I'm not trying to sensationalize it. I'm not trying to talk shit to get a click. Y'all know how I give it up. I'm saying it's spiritual. That's all. If anybody in this life is walking around not thinking that life is not based on both, yes, you can have all the physical desires and all the things that you want to do on a physical plane, but we also know that we deal with things that are in the spiritual space as well, too. Think about it. It's just too convenient that all of these things happen and they transpired in a row like that. And then everybody is sitting up here wondering, like, it's God's fault or whatever you want to blame outside of yourself. But just understand, if the governor of California, which is, to me, the governor and the mayor, like, together, I don't even understand it. The mayor, they had a whole press conference with her fresh off the plane, and she ain't saying not one word. Like, I don't even get that. No condone, no nothing. She ain't saying one word. They asking her questions. She's sitting up there like, yo, I don't even hear y'all. Like, she's standing on camera not even answering questions. So what I'm saying to y'all is that sometimes when people are guilty of things, it's just best not to say nothing. We know that in real life, just dealing with real life, we understand body language. We understand when people know they want to say something, but they can't. We see it. And at the end of the day, y'all, I'm just saying to y'all, hopefully we find them children. Hopefully it wasn't children caught up in these fires. Hopefully it wasn't things, but we're going to find out because, you know, they had the people out there looting in these people's stuff. Now, I don't know, you know, what makes them think that people wasn't going to steal from them. But what I'm saying to you is that what did they steal? What did they take that didn't get burnt? Listen, It's a lot of stuff going to come out of this. I'm telling y'all. And I'm not trying to say I'm the one to tell y'all, like I'm the psychic or something like that. I'm not. I'm saying just the way that it feels, it just don't feel right, y'all. It, the way that things are being done, it don't feel right. We need to find them children. And I say this all the time. You can go back and forth with me or anybody else all you want to. I don't care about extra stuff that people get into, all that racial stuff and all that. Listen, we're going to deal with whatever we're going to deal with because the people that have hurt you most look like you. So I don't even want to hear all this racial stuff. What I want to say is that all children need to be protected. I don't care how they got over here or the ones that was born here, they missing too. So it has nothing to do with just the fact that the ones that came through the border. But regardless, nobody should be playing on kids' face and using them, no grown adult. And that everything that's been going on out here, y'all, I'm just saying, I'm not the one for it. I'm not going to sit up here and just look at things from just a simple lens because everybody else want to just believe that God set this fire for them and burnt all that stuff up. I'm telling y'all, no. It's other things that was being burnt up and covered up. All those mansions and stuff that got burnt up. These mansions and stuff ain't never got burnt up. And then think about the way that it looked. It looked just like what happened in Hawaii to me. I don't know. Y'all tell me. But y'all know what to do. Put it in the comments, man. Let's stop playing. Let's pay attention. There's a lot more that went on this week, but I ain't going to get into that. Y'all know because I got a guest. Because we got to talk about a couple of other things. One reason why I'm so excited to have my guest on tonight, because basically she has a story that she's going to tell that's going to help with the liberation of herself. Like whatever she felt like was confining her from whatever the reason was, she found a way to release that. And in the time in this climate right now that we're in, where they have everybody trying to be against each other. They got men and women trying to be against each other in all aspects, right? We got this person trying to tell this person how to live. That person who's trying to say, you got to identify me like this. We want to live in a society where people are able to be who they are and we just accept them for who they are and not for what we want them to be. You have choices in life. And one of them choices is to try to get to know people based on a perspective and understanding, not just based on a judgmental place, just because it might not be something that you're not with. But what we want to do is make sure on this platform that I give everybody a voice, and especially one that is really dedicated to the fact of liberation and freedom from whatever aspect it can be, especially from your mind and your mental, though. So look, let me get into a couple of comments real quick before I do bring my guest up. This was one that was in there, the Roast Show. Double shout out to y'all, man. Y'all jump on every week and y'all give me comments and stuff, so I appreciate y'all. Also, I don't even understand how people continue to think the government will save them in a time of tragedy. Katrina, North Carolina. Now this, why anyone expect anything less is beyond me. And that's a fact, because even in North Carolina, they still ain't get that together. If it wasn't for Elon, they wouldn't be able to. Elon got cyber trucks running all around California just to get people. Look, man, I don't know if the man Iron Man or not, but what I will tell y'all is this. Very few people are using their resources to help. So that ought to tell you what people really feel about you, yo. All them voters out there that was battling between who this, that, and the third. None of them people y'all voted for, it's came out there to California and did nothing for y'all. The person who didn't vote for y'all is the one that's sending Starlink and everything else and all that other stuff out there for y'all. So just think about that, man. I bet. So outside of that, let's do this, man. Let's get my guest in here, man, because we're gonna switch it up a little bit, yo. And Becca Slider is in the building, so let's see what's going on. Hello, hello.
Hey, so happy to be here with you.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm grateful to have you on this evening, for real. This is going to be a great conversation. I know a lot of people are looking forward to hearing your perspective on how you feel about things.
Thanks.
So, I'm excited. So let's do this. Let's go ahead and let you introduce yourself to the audience and then let them know why you're on the platform this evening.
Yeah, so I'm an ex-pastor. I walked away from ministry, religion, and unsupportive beliefs in order to find myself, in order to fall in love with myself, in order to live as my true self, right? And now I work as a confidence coach and motivational speaker. And my biggest passion is helping other women drop the good girl persona and really step into their visibility, their voice, and their impact they came for. And that really requires liberating their self-expression, right? no longer fragmenting the pieces of themselves they think are not acceptable to the world around them.
Gotcha. Yeah. And that's why I felt like tonight was important, because, you know, in the world that we live in now, you know, very seldom do you have people that's willing to speak from a perspective of, you know, their religious beliefs or where their religious stand was versus where they are now. Because in that transition, we have a lot of people who judge people who say, I'm no longer. Because it doesn't mean that you don't have a connection with God. It just means that you're not doing it in this particular space anymore. So let's talk about this for a minute. Help me understand what drew you into, you know, your pastoralship in the beginning.
Yeah, so I grew up in a conservative Christian home, evangelical, like non-denominational. And I don't think the church I was raised in so much was extremely problematic per se, but the home life I had was very unsupportive and very toxic, very authoritative. It was funny because it was like the message of Jesus was very much about grace and love, but then that's not what was reflected in my home life. And so I kind of walked away from it all when I was a teenager, but ended up back in it because I was in a really horrible relationship with a guy, traumatized by it, felt like complete shit, just like a nobody. At the end of that narcissistic relationship, it was like, okay, I have no self-esteem, no worth. And so I started going back to church. And when I went back to church, I right away met the guy I ended up marrying. So I'm 20 years old at this point, very, very young. Got married, right. And he ended up getting out of the military and wanting to go into ministry. So we end up in ministry together. And I think what was beautiful, and there was a lot of really good things that happened during that time. One of them was that I realized I had a speaker.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Gift, and I wanted to speak and wanted to have a platform to speak at. And so fortunately, where I went to church and the several churches I attended, they allowed female pastors. So mm-hmm. I ended up in ministry with my husband at the time. So the thing is, my entire identity was being a Christian. That's what it was. It was being a Christian and being a mom. That's who I knew myself to be. And that's everything I did, everything I saw the world with, and everything that I experienced was all through that lens. It wasn't like this fake, like, I don't want to say fake, like I'm trying to judge other people who just go to church and like don't walk the walk, but that's the reality of it. I was walking the walk. Like, it was very, very real to me. So that's kind of how I got into it. And when I got into it, especially when in the ministry, it was deep. It was like a swimming pool. Like, I didn't know anything outside of that experience.
Right. And I know, it's like that too, right? Because conviction that, or false conviction, right? That comes with, you know, your dedication to church. Because it's not necessarily a dedication to God. God is what they use as the anchor in order to, you know, where the conviction comes from, but it's technically for the church. Because the church is the reason why, you know, Monday night you got Bible study, and Tuesday night you got prayer meeting, and Wednesday night you got, you know, the youth meeting, you got, you know, why every day of the week is basically a day that you are in there. And so, it could put you in a space and make you feel like if it's anything outside of this, then you're to blame for anything that happened. You know, I experienced that myself, so yeah. I know exactly where you're coming from. So whenever you're going through that, and you feel yourself in a tug of war on your, when you came back, or did you feel more like you were supposed to be there on your second go around because you met your husband and, you know, and all of these other things? Was that the case for you or what?
It's so funny you use the word supposed to be there, because I think that's a big part of it, right? It felt like when you have traumatic shit happen in your life and the answer for you becomes church and Jesus, Christianity, or any type of religion, really, it can be helpful. It can be an on-ramp to your healing. And also it can become a toxic trauma bond that you develop with that experience, with that religion, with that, whatever it is. And so for me, it was more like a trauma bond of like, this felt like safety. This felt like security. It felt real. And at this point, I am so sick of the toxicity I lived in. Like, this must be the good life. This must be it. So what I did was, even though I had question marks around certain beliefs, for instance, I knew before I went back into church, got married, ministry, that I was not heterosexual. Like, I knew I was queer, but I got married to a man and compartmentalized that, shoved it in a box and just put it to the side, because it was like, what? You can't do that. Like, you're in a monogamous marriage. Right. You can't do that. Oh, I'd like to date a woman too at this point. Like, that's not, you can't do that. So
right.
I fragmented, right, that piece of me. And right. Then parts of me that wanted to maybe dress a little more provocative, or what would be considered provocative in the church. Let's just put it that way. It was like, no, you can't do that. There was so much programming that drove me, but because I believed that it all was like for the good, because it was for safety purposes, and it was like what God wanted, I just ran with it. I'm just like, okay, this must be it. This must be the way, like, this is freedom, which is crazy. That's the craziest part to think. I truly believe like this is living free, because you look in the Bible, it talks about freedom all the time. Christ sets free is free, all those things. So it's like, no, this is freedom. But I had shoved the pieces of me that were not acceptable so far into the ground that I wasn't even like aware of them anymore. I wouldn't even go there in my head. So that's kind of how I dealt with it. It was just like, I didn't deal with it.
Yeah. And I think for most people, right? Because first of all, it's the conversation that you got to have when it comes down to genuinely letting people know how you feel. Because a lot of things that happen, people say it don't go there, right? Like, when it comes down to you and you like, you realizing that, you know, you like women as well. You know, it's, to me, I feel like once you give a person part of you, like, you always give them the part of you that, you know, I feel like, you know, is a day-to-day you, right? Most of us give people the day-to-day us, right? Because the person that we really are and we really want to be, we cannot be that, you know, in the sense of worrying about, is this person not going to be there? Is this person going to judge me? Or is this a thing that, you know, this person would be okay with? Because it's the same thing. Like, in your space, you know, you really figuring out what makes you free, even though the church life seemed like that was the way to freedom. It was like, yo, but I'm still in bondage. Like, I know that this is supposed to be free, but I don't feel it over here, right? And so I can't relate into the queer part. I mean, not me, you know what I'm saying? But I can't relate into the part of, you know, you being in a situation where you don't feel like you can express yourself fully, mm-hmm. right? And that you're having to tuck that away and almost making it feel like that's the part of you that's evil, right? Yeah. Like, giving you this yin and yang effect, mm-hmm. like giving you something to really test your faith against is your desire, right? Because we fast for that, right? We fast so we could help block our desires for things, right? So help me understand this, though. So how did you, what made you feel like you were queer? Because right now it seems like you bi, right? Because
queer is more of an umbrella. So like bi is under,
okay.
That's basically what, that's probably how I would describe myself, as bisexual or pansexual. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Queer is usually an umbrella term for all of those underneath it.
Oh, gotcha. Thank you. Because I didn't know. Thank you for schooling me. I don't want to say the wrong thing, I promise. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, so in that space of discovering that, would you have been in a polygamous relationship?
That's so funny because now we're fast forwarding my life. Possibly. At this point in my life, I'm actually open to that. But I don't know that back then I would have known, because you have to remember, like, I am schooled with the Bible, and the Bible clearly says homosexuality is a sin. Even though we can get into the whole, that's a whole like different thing we can get into. But like, that was my first brick of, they say when you're deconstructing, that's the word they use to describe when you have, you're a Christian or even different religion, but typically Christianity, and you right. believe all the things. And then you're like, wait a minute. I don't know if I believe this. And it's kind of a domino effect. And you start realizing that these beliefs don't support you and you don't believe any of it or whatever. They say there's always a brick in your foundation that gets pulled first. Like, what's the one that started the cripple or that started the deconstruction? And for me, it was homosexuality. For me, it was like, this doesn't make sense that they can put this in the Bible. And it's like, this is with murder. It's literally beside murder in the Bible, like homosexuality and murder, like it's listed beside. So there are so many things that I started questioning. I'm just like, and if that isn't true, like that is not really truly a sin as they say it is, what else am I believing that actually is wildly unsupportive? And why do I believe it? Do I believe it because I actually chose these beliefs for myself? Because as an adult with an emotional and intelligent brain at 30 and above, again, that's like a whole thing. No, this was a programming thing from a very young age, right? I grew up in it. I was told always from a very young age, all of the authority and the way that you live is external in. There will always be something to tell you how to live, how to be, how you should show up in the world, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. Versus what is the most healthiest for children is to start teaching them how to trust themselves, how to trust their own intuition, right? But we're not taught that. And so as adults, for me, I was still looking like, yes, I need someone to tell me what is true, what is not true, what to believe, what makes me safe, versus leaning on I was so disconnected from myself. Because the other thing you've got at play, at least for myself, was I was very disconnected from my body. Again, right. When I'm growing up, masturbation is wrong. Like, you save your body for marriage. Like, it's your, as a woman, like, it's meant for your husband only. Like, just so much.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Like, disconnection from my body, and your intuition is in your body. Like, to get your inner knowing, that gut feeling, you know, you talk about, it's like, led this way. No, it's God or the Holy Spirit or a pastor or like a husband is going to lead you. The dad, when you're at home and a kid, someone else leads you your whole fucking life. Like, someone else is telling you what is good, what is right, what is approved. And so this is what happened. I start questioning it all. I'm like, oh my God, I realize I didn't choose really on purpose any of this. It was so intertwined with me feeling safe and me feeling right. It was like, yeah, of course I do this. So that's when I just started giving myself permission, which was key, because it takes a lot of fucking courage to give yourself permission to question everything that literally your identity is wrapped up in. My whole being, my whole life, my whole community, everything about this was not something like I was like, oh, I think I just want to like sin a whole bunch. I think I'm just going to go out and like pour it up. Like, that wasn't what was happening. Everything I knew to be true and safe and secure that felt good to me, I was questioning and literally having the courage to walk away from. And I wasn't walking away from it to something else that was going to make me feel safe and secure and comfortable and like, oh, I've got this. I had nothing else to walk away to. It was like jumping off a ship into the damn ocean.
Right.
That was the scariest year of my life deconstructing. And yet I wouldn't change it for the world because of where I'm at now and what I believe now and where I've landed and the peace I have and the lack of shame and the lack of fear that I didn't even know I was living in.
Right. And I think that's amazing whenever people really get to a place where they could free themselves mentally, because that's just as much of a you know, I would think is a roadblock or a hurdle or, you know, whatever a person would call those type of, you know, situations in their life, is what you think about in your mind. And because it pretty much controls your actions. And when this might be controversial, but this is what my interpretation of the whole homosexual thing, I think it was based on a covenant with men. I think if it was really a thing that was going down, I don't think that that was a thing that was given to women, right? Because every scenario that I've come across when it came down to the Bible and it talked about homosexuality, it always talked about men and the men doing the sodomy and the men doing this, that, and the third. And I think even when it came down to whenever Lot was supposed to go find people and say, yo, bring me back this amount of people, and, you know, bring me back this many, it was always men. Bring me back this many men. Bring me back this many men. It wasn't just saying, hey, bring me back men and women, that was this, that, and the third. It was always, you know, emphasis on bring me back this many men, this, that, and the third. So I think that's where the whole, you know, stigma that comes from with homosexuality in the Bible, I think it just translates over to women as well, too, because, like you said, women in religion, they're not allowed to express their sexuality or to even learn their bodies, right? Mm-hmm. Most grown women right now still don't know how to instruct a person on to pleasing them, right? To making sure they get an orgasm, right? Because sex is supposed to be just as much of a pleasure for a woman than it is for a man. You know, men's orgasms, I heard it's a couple of different orgasms that men can have, but for the most part, men's orgasms is for procreation. But then you have women who can have multiples back to back just based on the way that their body is just turned all the way up from the way that they're being, you know, met in that space, because they're allowed to be free in that space without being judged, you know, for certain things. Yeah. So I do believe that mentally, you know, you can block yourself from a lot of things. They say block your blessings. I think mentally you can block yourself from a lot of things just based on the way you think.
Yeah. Well, and on your point about like the pleasure, the idea of just pleasure, it's like the clitoris, the only purpose of it is for pleasure. There's no other purpose for that except for pleasure. It's not for procreation, right? Like, so it's definitely meant for the experience of pleasure. And you talked about the idea of homosexuality with men. I had heard too that hundreds of years ago, when you trace back the word they used to use in the Bible before, you know, it got translated to English and all that, the word actually was referencing older men with younger, like, boys. That's what that word was actually saying. So it was like really child molestation is what the word actually meant, between an older man and a boy. So yeah, I agree. I think there's definitely some really fucked up interpretations, but then just like religious constructs of what it means to be a Christian and how everything's, again, outside of you. And you're worthless unless you accept Jesus. Like, there are a lot of things that are, for me, and I don't judge anyone who chooses whatever religion they choose. I think everyone's doing the best they can and choosing what feels good for them. And that's, I trust that and believe that for people. And also for me, what I realized was the majority of the staple beliefs of Christianity are really beliefs that are founded in fear, and they are masked in love. And that for me was something I could not get on board with anymore, because I used to only see them as love. And once my, like, the shade was pulled down and I started seeing, oh shit, these are actually founded in fear. Just the idea of hell is so founded in fear. And I'm like, I can't, this doesn't support me. Having fear-based beliefs does not support me in who I want to be and how I want to show up and how I want to believe. Like, so that was a big part of the deconstruction process, is like letting those go.
Yeah, because that's all religions, though. Like you said, you know, it's not really, you know, based on one. That's all of them. All of them come with a set of rules and standards you must follow in order for you to be considered to be a real whatever. You know, if you're really this, then you're going to do this. But we know, like, in all of those, you know, I always say this about religion. Now, spirituality is different than religion. Like, we got to be completely, you know, honest about that, because religion comes with a set of rules and standards that men give. You know, spirituality and being connected to nature and being connected to the spirit, that's totally different, because you can discern things in your spirit based on what you've been given and things in your DNA versus outside of you just being able to recite the scripture. And I think that's the difference, right? There's, I talked about this last week. I said the difference between religion and science is that religion is where people can be told something and they'll believe it. Science is where they could be told something, but then they're going to figure it out if it's really true or not. Mm-hmm. That's the only difference between the two. But they all got to follow a set of standards or rules in order for them to be considered really that. So I say, you know, people don't leave room for your discernment. People don't leave room for the common sense. People don't leave room for that, right? Because it has to be either I got all knowledge, right? Or I know how to put it together. It's never a person that can say to themselves, you know what, technically, I don't feel like that's right. Because in all religions, you're forced.
Yep. Yes.
100%. You know, you're forced in some type of way to be a certain way. Like, who you are is not who you are. You are right. Where everything else is. And it puts you in this drone mindset of you just being an NPC, you know. Yeah. And I feel like that's where the mental thing comes in, and it doesn't allow people to use their imagination no more, right? Because mm-hmm. people have been told as an adult, you know, you got to think this way now. You can no longer use your imagination. That's why I feel like, you know, so many things are so messed up out here. People so one-minded because they can't use their imagination. You explain to me, when it comes down to you and when it comes down to the feeling of letting yourself free, did you have those visions in your head first before you just actually, you know, was it in your imagination of, yo, this is who I really want to be?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe everything is created twice, first in your mind and then in your reality, right? So like, absolutely, your imagination is crucial. They say that your brain is, almost everyone's brain is on autopilot by the time they're 35 years old. Your reactions, the way you show up, what you believe, like how you just show up in life. And it really ties back to the number one regret of the dying. People regret living a life that wasn't true to themselves. And the reason they regret that is because they're literally programmed in, even if you didn't grow up in religion, it doesn't matter. You're programmed into how to behave, how to show up, what you're supposed to do, how to please people. Who do you want to please? Do you want to show up? Are you going to show up as like a badass? Are you going to show up as like a people pleaser? I just do everything right. Like, it's a programming. And unless you start taking the time to ask better questions, and you got to do it with curiosity and not judgment, that's also key. Otherwise,
this podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces, Gucci bags, Prada heels, but my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more, and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell, fast, to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
You're just adding to the cycle of shame and judgment in your own head. So you show up and you start asking yourself, why do I think this way? Why do I show up this way? I wonder why I always say yes to that person when I want to say no. I wonder why I feel the need to prove myself to that person all the time. Like, asking yourself all these questions regularly, that is the only way to get yourself off autopilot and back into, who am I? Why am I here? What do I actually want? How do I want to show up in the world? And that's where all the creation happens. That's where the creativity happens. That's where you can start imagining all the possibility, because you're no longer stuck in the fucking matrix.
Right. And I think that's liberating too, because I think in a lot of instances, once, and I think this is more so for women too, because once they become a parent, then that automatically puts another level of, you know, guilt and shame on their, you know, what they may be feeling like they want to be in their life. Like, can they be this now? Because no, they can't, because now they're a mom. And I think that there are certain things that, you know, if you don't want your children to see, then there's certain places you shouldn't be. Like, we just want to make sure you understand that. But for the most part, a lot of people lose their identity once they become a parent, right? That will put you in a certain type of box on top of religion, whatever that is. So you lose more of yourself the more you add on. If you don't have partners or people around you, especially who you choose to have children with, that's more important than whether you feel like this is the person you're supposed to walk down the aisle with. Because there are very few people that's going to support you in your vision. Because who you are and what you want to be, that's a vision for you. Whether you feel like it was given from God or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's also why I have three kids, 19, 18, and 13 years old. And that is one of the biggest reasons I tell them, like, don't get married young. Don't get married super young. Because again, I was 21. Who the fuck knows who they are at 21? Who at 21 is like, I know exactly who I am. I know what I want out of life. Like, I feel so cemented and grounded. I feel secure in who I am. Nobody. You literally graduated high school a couple of years ago. And so here we are, though, getting married and having babies that young. And then I even talked to my 19-year-old recently, was just like, thanks for growing up with me. Because, like, we grew up together. I didn't know who I was. And obviously you didn't. And here I am. I don't know who I am, trying to raise a baby who doesn't know who she is either. Right. It's kind of a shit show. And so you just make the best of it. But the reality is, the more roles, to your point, which I thought was absolutely brilliant, the more roles that you take on, being a mother or, you know, being a Christian, all of these things that you're like, oh, this is who I am, this is what I do, the more it boxes you into these paradigms of how you show up and what's allowed and what's acceptable and what's not, versus, yes, these are things that I operate in. I am a mom. And also, I'm a me. I'm me. I'm me first, because I have to live with me the rest of my life. My kids will grow up. They will move out. They will have their own lives. Of course, they'll be in my life. But I have to live with just me the rest of my life, in my head the rest of my life. Take the time to get to know myself. And this is why I tell my kids all the time. It's like, figure out who you are. Figure out what you love. I don't have an agenda for your life. I'm not going to push college or push not going to college. I'm not going to push the military or not the military. I trust you, and you're going to get it wrong, because this is not a path of perfection. This is a journey, and the adventure is the journey. And so it's getting okay with, oh, I thought that was who I was and that's what I wanted. And I realized, like, actually that is definitely not cool. That's part of the contrast of life. And it's beautiful. You learn some things about yourself, you figure out more, and you move accordingly, but have fun in the process versus getting stuck in these rat holes of and boxes of, like, who you think you're supposed to be based on culture or religion or people around you. You want people who are also evolving, so they're, like, supporting your evolving. They're not trying to have you evolve so that they can feel better about themselves. I need you to do this or be this way so I feel better about myself. That's not a fucking friend. That's not a person you want to be around.
No, not at all. And I say that a lot. Anytime a person can only be your friend based on what they want you to do, then they're not your friend. If they can only be there when you're right, and they're not your friend, because your friend's going to be there for you when you're wrong, but tell you that you're wrong, right? And to another point, too, I think about this, too, because, see, as a man, this is the difference with us. Like, no matter what you do, if you create children or you have, you're going to always have a responsibility that you'll never be able to turn at all. These are things that will never go away for you, because you will get the blame whether it's your fault or not. If you're the leader of your household, or if you have children in this world and you're able and you're open and free to have a relationship with your children, meaning that, you know, you may not be in a relationship with your child's mother, but you still have access to your child. A lot of people don't have that. A lot of people only get to have a certain relationship if the relationship is a whole one for the other person. Then they will use the children against you. So as a man, you always have a sense of responsibility. As much as you may want to go out here and be something that you may feel freely that you are, if it doesn't come with you being able to handle your responsibility, then that whole thing goes away for you. And I'm going to be honest, there's plenty of men out here under bridges and in certain alleyways because they chose to just be outside, and drugs and all this other stuff got the best of them. Alcohol, the best of them, right? And they all their responsibilities, they left. And they're shameful because now the children have to grow up with missing that part, or, you know, having to grow up without missing that protection, because we don't ever get to put that down. Like, no matter what, you, as a man, you never get to put the protection of you being a protector. You never get to put that guard down. There's just certain things that would just put on us, and it's just by nature. It's nothing that nobody else can do. It's just, this is a part of what you are. You never get to turn that off. And that's the part, right, where the misconception or the misunderstanding between relationships of men and women come in that. Because where there's women that react off of their emotions, then there's men that can only react off of logic. Mm-hmm. Right? Because the emotions have not, you know, you can't have a certain level of emotions when you got responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know how many men are sitting up here living off of somebody or sleeping on somebody's couch because they're emotional? They're not, because, you know what I'm saying? And yeah. and they're a liability.
Yeah.
Right? And that doesn't work. So, like I'm saying, for anybody that could mentally free themselves up here, I think it's liberating, and I think they should do everything in their power to be able to do that. I just know that as a man, I'm just saying to all the men that's watching, you know, there's just certain parts of you that you can never turn off if you have responsibility. Yeah. And let's just be completely clear. It was your choice to make them, to create it. Whatever that responsibility is, whether it's a business, I mean, you have people working for you, your responsibility is who you are. If you choose to be a leader, then you cannot not handle your business. Mm-hmm. And that's just the bottom line about it. So, you know, I look at it from that perspective, right? Like, when it comes down to making decisions, it's like, I have no choice but to be myself. I can't be nobody else, because people ain't going to love me but for me. They're going to love me based on the condition. Either I'm providing something or I'm not.
Yep.
So yeah. You're gonna get this. You're gonna get exactly what I'm getting. Yep. Right? No representative. It's not coming with that, right? Because I realized it at an early age. Like, listen, you know, people are not gonna love you for you, Rob. They're gonna love you for what you can provide. Mm. So I feel grateful that, you know, people can find themselves whenever I can talk to people, because that's the energy that we need, right? Yeah. Especially when it comes to between men and women having those conversations and not being judgmental. Yeah. Because one of the things you put up before, now I know most people was, when I saw that, people was like, wait, hold on, OnlyFans? And I was like, well, hey, you know, we got to figure out what's going on with that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because it can't be, everybody has their own stigma about it and what that means to them. So let's talk about that for a little while. What drove you to the life of going in on OnlyFans?
Yeah, so after deconstructing Christianity, walking away from ministry, all of that, one of the first things that came after that, deconstruction-wise, was my sexuality, kind of hinted at that earlier, realizing, mm-hmm. oh my God, now that I don't believe these things, I don't feel shame about my sexuality, like the fact that I am highly sexual. Just, I love to express my sexuality in multiple ways, just showing up in just my energy, just like sexual energy, period. But then also the way I dress, or the fact that I do enjoy women, all of that. So what happened though was I have like my ex-husband now, but like we ended up ending things very amicably. But moving into that, I have high standards for who I want to be with, date, any of that. Very high standards, as should anyone. However, because of that, I don't like date a bunch of people. I don't have a bunch of sex. I wish I had a bunch of sex. I love having sex. I have a very high libido and it's like insatiable. So what I realized was like, oh, I toyed with this idea of OnlyFans just as a creative outlet for like sexual expression for myself. So I toyed with it for about a year. But what you've got going on now then is, you kind of hit it on it. It's like, there is a stigma about it, right? So here I am, I'm already a coach and I'm a speaker, okay? And I'm not a coach and speaker for sexuality. I'm a confidence coach. I work with a lot of entrepreneurs. I'm a speaker for business owners. I've spoken for the Air Force leadership, like just different things, like random different things, right? Okay, and now I'm like, oh, I think I want to do an OnlyFans. So now the question is, oh, but then no one will respect you. No one will respect you, because the reality is that in our culture, sexuality and leadership don't go together, especially for women. Sexuality and being respected, like being highly sexual and being respected, they don't go together, right? There's these paradigms, these constructs of the way that we view sexuality, way more so here than any other country, actually. It's very interesting. United States of America is very interesting in its like taboo way that we view sexuality, because you go other places and it's not really like that. But I had to make the decision, like, am I going to do this on the down low and be like super anonymous and try to like market it somehow? And I was just like, no, because the reality is I'm trying to pull down strongholds that reflect these things not going together and actually start a movement. And I'm not even starting the movement. It's already happening, where women are rising up saying, this is bullshit. I can be highly sexual and also be respected. I can be highly sexual and be a leader. Like, these things do go together, and I'm going to freaking show you how. And so I decided to not only use my real name, but to also, like, I don't market much on my social media. It's rare, because I use my social more to talk about coaching and things like that. But all of my kids know that I have an OnlyFans, because one thing that I wasn't going to do is have my kids are older too, so I'm not dealing with like elementary school age kids, but I wasn't going to have my kids blindsided by some kid in their school finding out about it, you know, and being like, oh, your mom, and try to disrespect their mom to them and them not know what the fuck was happening. So I had conversations with each of them, and I talked to them, not just like, oh, I'm just doing this for sexy fun. Like, it wasn't just that. Like, I explained to them kind of where I'm at and the sexual liberation of women and what that means to me and how passionate I am and what that looks like. And part of the reason, you know, why I'm doing this is like, to literally just come in. It's like I want to come straight up against all of these cultural programs that are out there about women and sexuality. And so they're all aware of it. And I have had my son, he's had two different kids say something to him. And he's basically like, why do you know this about my mom? Like, why would you know? Of course I know about it. Like, why would you know? and he's 18. So again, we're talking about like older 18, 19 year olds, but yeah, I don't know. There's probably a lot of opinions. It's funny. I have someone who I chat with still who knew me as a pastor, and they still are in contact with a lot of people that went to the church that I preached at. Like, I was one of the pastors at, and they said, yeah, people talk about you. They're very concerned for you. It's like, that's the Christian thing, right? Like, very concerned for her. But it's so funny, because if you really watch the things that I post and the way that I show up, and like, if you knew me at a human to human level on a day-to-day basis, I am more loving. I am more peace-driven. I am more kind. I am more non-judgmental. I am more open-minded. I am more at peace with myself, my life, my future than ever before. And this is me being this wild woman who does OnlyFans too, right? Like, so it's just kind of humorous to me. And the reality is that because I don't judge myself very much at all anymore. There's still some judgment, but it's very little now. Because of that, I just don't even have judgment for those people judging me. Like, I just have compassion for them, because I used to be that person. I would have been like, oh, we need to pray for her. You know what I mean? Like, you need to, like, I was that person, and I get where that comes from, and all of it's founded in fear and all of it's programming. And so, like, all I have is love for those people. They don't get it. They may never get it. And it's okay. They don't have to, for me to decide I'm going to show up and be me, and I'm going to be a trailblazer in my own right. And at the end of the day, you cannot show up fully expressed as your authentic self, no matter what you do, whatever that authentic self looks like, and not have haters. You can't. People want you in the matrix. They want to know how you're going to operate in a programming that exists to make everyone else feel good about themselves. And I will not do it.
I feel you. And listen, I'm going to be honest. I think the stigma behind OnlyFans, I think why it gets what it gets, right? Because I don't really necessarily, I think the judgment comes from people who know people, right? Like, when most people who do, because it's a couple of things that's going on. Because, like, with OnlyFans, a person, in order for a person to see somebody doing something, they have to subscribe to them, right? Or pay whatever it is in order for you to get up there and be nosy. So it's not like you just scroll on their joint and just see them, you know, doing whatever. So you have to necessarily invest in them to, in order to see them, which I feel like at that point, it's a business model. Mm-hmm. I think what the stigma that comes with that is because, you know, the OnlyFans platform itself, for the most of the people that are out here just promoting it in that sense, they use that as a means of just making it about the money, right? And I think the stigma that comes with that is that, well, if you really think about the guys that want to pay to watch somebody else either please themselves or watch another guy please a woman or have it go, women, like, whenever you do that mentally, you know, it gives people a false sense of love in some aspects, right? Because they really think that these people really want them and they desire them in so many different ways, when it's really them, you know, everybody's using each other in some aspect. Yeah. But when it comes down to these people actually wanting real relationships after it's all over, the only thing that comes with that is the backfire of, you know, hey, you was on here doing all this with all these people and all this other stuff. Why you want me to be? You know what I mean? And then they wind up having to date somebody that used to be a customer, because that's the only person that can see past it, right? Because they're the ones that felt like they wanted to pay to see it. And this is where that part of them, they don't understand, right? So I think for you, like you said, you know, you, like, you don't have a bunch of people. You're not just sleeping with people. You have this thing in you that you want to, you know, have as much sex as possible, but you're just not out there giving it away. So you express yourself a whole nother way. I don't know if you're using yourself or other, I don't know what, you know, but however you are expressing that, it still seems like in a way where you're trying to control that desire without just actually being out here wilding out. But you got people out here who are doing it just for content, and that's what gives it the stigma that it has. Maybe on the side of a highway, they'll be in an alleyway, or they'll be in a supermarket aisle.
Yeah.
You know, doing random shit.
Yeah. There's two thoughts I have on that. One, I am very relational as a human. I can't be just transactional. It's not in my, like, DNA. Like, I don't, it feels ick to me to be very transactional with another human. So it's still relational for me. I do a lot of audio messages to people, chat with them about their life, get to know them, things like that. I even do audio messages on my page with my photos. I do, like, one of the things I want to start implementing is actually coaching, like, not so much like in sexual, like, bed type stuff, more about confidence coaching, like with the people who come in to OnlyFans, like offering coaching and things like that. So that's that. That's me. That's my thing. The one thing I'll say, though, in regards to what you were saying with the stigma, right, where the people who, they're not so much relational driven, they're very transactional driven. It's just like, do as much sex as you can and get the money. Is that problematic? I can see why it's easy to look at them and be like, yeah, that's not really ideal. However, what I will also say is, what is the difference of them doing that and other people hustling their asses off in different ways that don't have to use their body sexually in order to make a buck and treating everyone transactionally in sales or in something else? That's the only, and I'm not saying either are right or wrong. I'm just making the point that we demonize and villainize the sexual side of using your body to just hustle and make money. And again, this isn't my realm of what I want to do. I'm just simply saying, but yet so many other people are using their body in some way, right? Manual labor, whatever it is, you're using your body to make money and hustling in a way that is just like, it's all about the dollar. It's all about the transaction. So it's just something to consider.
Yeah. I think, well, you know what? You make a valid point. I get that. You're right. There's a lot of people who do multiple things. Insurance, like I just said, you know, everything is basically transactional. You're right. I think the only thing that happens when it comes to relationships between men and women, when they give the stigma of the sex thing, is that, you know, you got to kind of think about it. For men, women, you know, whenever they think about what they're bringing to the relationship or what is the most desire, most women only lead with their body. Right? As if this is the value of them. Like, I always say most women have a superpower. Everybody has a different one, but they do. But it's not their body. Because, you know, sex will hold you together, but sex won't keep you together in the sense of there's not a man, like, if he's the man that you want, right? If he's the man that you want, and he's confident and he's on his square, sex is a thing that he likes. Sex is a thing he desires, but sex is not a thing that moves him. So in order for a man to really be in that space for the woman, he has to have in his mind thoughts of certain things, loyalty, not so promiscuous, not, you know, so easy to give herself away to other people, he not being used. So these are the only things mentally that he can hold on to say that these are the reasons why I'm going to commit to this woman. So I think that's where he finds a person, he meets her. She's a really dope person because she is. What she does is what she does, but doesn't mean that she's not a dope person. But just the fact that because she does that, and I don't know, you know, she has all these other people and partners and all these different things. It's like, damn. So that's where it comes from when it comes to a man, because really, if you kind of think about it, like you said this earlier when they talked about the woman, you know, you can only give yourself to your husband and all that other stuff. Well, if you kind of think about it, that's what they tell the man too. Right, you gotta wait till you get married. You cannot do this, you can't do that. You're not to touch yourself, you know. You got all these different things that go on with you. It's the same thing that's been told to a man. It's just the fact that you got those who say to themselves, all right, you got plenty of men who, you know, I guess they wait till they get married and then they find out they're not sexually compatible because they never talked about sex. They never have.
I am so anti don't have sex before until you're married. Like, both of my sisters saved themselves for marriage. I did not. Both of my sisters saved themselves for marriage, and neither of them had a good experience sexually speaking. And I'm just like, okay, this is some bullshit right here. You don't know who you are sexually. It's like the point you just made. Like, you literally like are like, I'm not sexually compatible. This is not what I thought this would be. It's like, okay, what is? Yeah, that's purity culture, right? What you were describing was purity culture in the Christian community, where you're raised to don't do this and don't do that, and you got it. And it's just like, damn, okay. Listen,
this is the difference between men and women when it comes to sex. Women really don't connect with men if they having bad sex with them. It's very hard because they have a different desire. Like you said, they have a clitoris. That's all that's there for. All the penetration that the man doing, I mean, a lot of women can get, you know, orgasms from penetration, but for the most part, you know, clitoral stimulation is what gets the engine going, right? Like, but if you kind of think about it from a man's perspective, you know, he will keep and stay in a relationship with a woman whose sex is not that good, right? Because it's everything else about her that makes her the value to him, right? He probably will never tell her, or he may react in a certain way, but it's never a thing of saying, well, yo, I'm just going to leave her because her sex ain't bad. If everything else is clicking, if she's, you know, all of these other things, but there will, you know, very seldom will women stay with a man, or at least not be totally faithful to a man who the sex is not bad. It's just a thing of miscommunication to me, because most, you know, most men don't know, or women are not teaching men how to have this foreplay moment with them before he even get to the place where he can get in there, right?
Yeah, so yeah, they're not. You hit it on the head a second ago. Communication. That's the part of it. That's it. Yeah, they're not communicating. But also, if you don't know yourself, if you don't even know how to communicate with yourself about, like, again, questions that I was saying earlier, like, who am I? What do I really like? What does make me feel good? What do I feel like I need more of? What do I feel like I need less of? Why don't I like sex in the bedroom? What is that? Is it, I'm just going to name it bad and that's it? I call it a day. Like, no one's asking the hard questions to themselves. So of course they're not talking to their spouse about it. Yeah, no, it's a whole, yeah, you hit the nail on that. It's communication for sure.
It's going to be communication on all aspects, because, you know, you have people who they get embarrassed off a conversation. Yeah. With people who they should not be embarrassed to have conversations with. Because even before you even self-commit to a person, you know, you should be able to have conversations with them about things, right? And you get to know people's thought process. Because like I asked you earlier about the polygamy thing, the reason why I asked that is because I understand that polygamy is not based on sex, right? But we understand that people who have in their mindset where they can deal with jealousy on a different level, if they could balance themselves out to understand what jealousy really means and not, then they could have a relationship where they can have more in than they do when it just has a traditional relationship. Because, you know, whenever people talk about the Bible, they always skip over this, right? Because in the Bible, there were really no monogamous relationships. And so whenever people say that they are Christian and they're this, that, and the third is why they believe in a certain thing, I'm saying, okay, so what version of a Christian are you? Like, what book are you reading? Because you can't be reading the book that they gave you that go with the school you went. You ain't reading that book, yo. Because in that book, and it's all in religion. Like, it's not one religion that doesn't contest to that. They even show you in the sense of where they say that, listen, depending on how many assets you have, how many cows and donkeys you have, it will determine how many families you can go pick up a woman from. So listen, I'm just saying, there are people out here who don't want to have the hard facts because we go against nature in all aspects of life. You know, and if you really think about that, most people, they will not pay attention to nature to save their life. Nature has the answer to everything, because with a person that doesn't have to sow or build or gather and they still take care of each other and there's still an ecosystem, it has to be something in there that we can draw from. We used to be a part of that. But I guess we are not no more. So because of our highly intelligence, that we're so intelligent that we forget that, you know, some of these things are unnatural. And that's why people are having a really terrible life, because they're going against their nature. Yeah. It's not a bad thing, but people can't get past jealousy. Right. So they can't grow. This whole village thing that they talk about children, it takes more than two parents to raise a child.
Absolutely. Yes.
And so many aspects, we forget all that. It's so much selfishness that go on with adults that they deprive their children of the life that they're supposed to have in order for them to really be successful, because they're too busy in their own thoughts and stuff outside of what's really real or not.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was going to mention nature, so it's great that you brought that up, because the reality is, when you look at nature, most of it is polyamorous. There are animals that are monogamous, but like it's polyamorous. But you also made the perfect point of like, the reality is that the average human has not evolved enough in their self-awareness and in their secure attachment style that they can handle polyamorous like partnerships, even two people, right? It's like all the jealousy rises, all the things. And so it would be best for their emotional state, for their nervous system, to be in a monogamous relationship. The problem with that is that if they are more wired, because I do think people are different. I think some people are wired more for monogamy and some people are wired more for polyamory. But the reality is that if they're wired for like being polyamorous and then they're fighting it because they're like, I can't do that. The long-term effects is often like they end up in affairs. They end up just addicted to porn, like whoever, like it ends up not being ideal because they feel wired for more. And they're not getting, even though they think the wired for more is just the sexual part, a lot of times it can be the drive of just more external relationships and friendships that they feel very close and intimate to.
Right. Because that's what I was going to say. A lot of times, you know, the sex don't be the driving force for putting it together. Right. Yeah. But to be able to be in a place where you can be free of who you are is what it's really about. So I always say this, man, and that's why I say I appreciate you coming on the platform and being vulnerable enough to tell your story, because a lot of judgment going to come with the fact that you used to be in a pastor and now you're talking about sexual liberation, where in the church they talk against sex so much to the point where all the pastor's daughters be the ones who pregnant first. That's the reason, and it'd be the weirdest stuff to me, right? Like everything that they talk about, their children be the ones that be really jumping off in the church. But we don't judge people based on that, right? Because we know it's in their nature. The only difference is they're being denied what's natural to them, and they react to it, right? They defy it because it doesn't feel unnatural to them not to explore themselves. But some people have been allowed to use mentally hold themselves back so much that they don't even, they haven't even explored themselves physically. Like they didn't masturbate. They didn't, you know what was, what would feel good to them. They didn't take the time whenever they did have a partner that they were sexual with. They never experimented in certain things. Like just try to touch me. Let me figure out what may help, you know, because everybody is, you got to come with this. I already know. Right? You can't come with this. I come to learn. You got to come with this. I already know. I say, yo, if they give you the directions on how to put a bike together, why you can't give somebody else the directions on how to get your water running? Right? Like you want somebody to automatically come in. And I tell like, yo, women, there you go. You want the dude to come in and do to you what he did to the other chick? Yo, you telling me that's going to work for you?
Yeah.
Because so many women will tell you, like, I ain't telling the man nothing. He need to know. What he need to know what to do. I ain't gonna tell him nothing and doom 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 doom. And then it's like, yo, alright. And then you're gonna always have bad experiences because you're not willing to give out the directions to how to put your dresser together. Right?
You
it's okay. It's like, but then that's where it comes down to the fact of people not being able to communicate early. I reiterated this and I'm gonna say this 1,000 times if I don't say nothing else. People who are afraid to communicate will always have situations in their life that's not going to go right because they didn't take the time out to express it. Yeah. You always going to have people that's going to be in their mind, be in their head. Their subconscious creates all these made up scenarios in their mind. They believe it so much that they think it's real. And the next thing you know, you got conflict.
Yep.
Just because the person didn't just express in the moment that this is what it is. Yo, I don't know. I think people going to get a lot from this conversation and nothing else today.
That's right? Awesome. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So good.
Because look, we got to be in a position where men and women can have conversations and not be judgmental on each other, right? Not automatically put their thoughts and beliefs on another person as to why, right? Don't be combative all the time. Be open enough to understand a person's perspective.
Yes.
And I think you came from a really great place today. And I know it's going to be a lot of people that's going to look at it as if, you know, oh, she wasn't never really a pastor. You know, how could you be a pastor? And then now you out here doing OnlyFans. You was never a pastor. But I'm trying to say in so many instances, if they really get the details of what you're saying, you didn't say that you was out here just giving your body away to people. Yeah. And it's people who are devout Christians right now giving that thing away.
Yeah.
Right? You know how many pastors are sleeping with their congregation? Like it's a thing, you know. And people can only judge things that they can see. They judging you because they could go on OnlyFans and see you. If they wasn't able to see you, they wouldn't judge you.
Right. And I'm not afraid of judgment because the people judging me, I know the degree then to which they judge themselves. That's it. That's what you showed me when people judge me. So I know what that feels like. So. It's no skin off my back. I know I'm going to be judged and I'm okay with it. Here's what it comes down to. I've made peace with me. And that's a priceless gift.
That's so dope. Well, shoot, I was, you know, before we get out of here, this is what I want to do. I want people to be able to understand how they can get in contact with you to get some coaching because there may be somebody that's going to listen to the playback and some people that were jumping on now. And they might be like, yo, I just want to have a one-on-one conversation with you about some things that I've been feeling. Maybe I need to readjust the way that I'm thinking. It doesn't have to necessarily be about sex. I want people to understand it's not what she's saying. You know, she's definitely saying that. It could be things in your life that's holding you back. It doesn't have to be that. It could be anything that you feel convicted from doing that you know naturally deep down inside that you know that you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many people using their age as reasons why they're not going out for roles and different movies and television shows. They're not creating their music and stuff because of their age or because they may have a mental block or people don't feel like they want to do their poetry or they want to write books. All of these are mental blocks. It doesn't matter the subject, right? It's still the same process to get through that. And you said a good word. It was called deconstruct, right?
Yeah.
People have to deconstruct themselves. And a lot of it they got to do, deconstruct themselves from their subconscious. Because your subconscious is going to only give you the thoughts to help save you. It's the fight or flight syndrome. It's in your subconscious. If you guys can get a hold and reprogram your subconscious to not be in the space, then you'll be able to take better control of your life. So I think people will do good to come have some conversations with you. So give people the information on how they can, you know, connect with you and get some coaching if needed.
Yeah, the best way to connect with me is honestly on Instagram or Facebook. Either one, it's my name. Both of them are just my name spelled exactly the way it is on the screen, Becca Slider. And there's no other that I know of recently checked. There's no other Becca Slider spelled that way out there. So it should be really easy to find me.
Gotcha. And is there anything that you would like people to know before we get out of here? Like, yo, like, you know, let them know. Like, if there's a thing that, you know, you want to leave them with, like a word of encouragement or, you know, just anything.
Yeah, I think the best gift you can give yourself is to be in integrity with your soul. And that's something that sounds so pretty and poetic, but the reality is you're responsible for figuring out what it means to be in integrity with your own soul. Nobody else can tell you what that is, right? So your desires from your soul, I don't mean like your desires for potato chips. I mean like your soul desires, they're safe guidance. They're safe guidance. So if you're feeling that, just like you spoke about, just the things you want to do in life, the things you want to lean into, you're feeling that pull, it's because you're meant to. Your soul came here to actualize those things and experience those things. And the thing that holds you back the most is the own bully in your head. So you start off to asking yourself, this voice I'm hearing, is it really truly me, like my soul me? Or is this the voice programmed into me to bully myself, to get myself scared so that I don't do the things that I came here for? Just get more familiar with it. But again, like I said before, curiosity, not judgment. Curiosity.
Gotcha. All right. So y'all heard it from her. I definitely appreciate everybody that jumped on tonight. Thank y'all so much. Thank you to the Rose Show for the comments. Y'all know what to do, man. Make sure if y'all watching this on YouTube right now, like and subscribe to the channel so y'all can know. We come up here every Tuesday, and like I said, I talk to some of the world's most interesting people. And I think tonight's episode was amazing, and I think it was great. And I think all of y'all out there that's watching and watch the playback, y'all get a lot from it. And I hope that y'all reach out to Becca if you in the need, especially any of you ladies out there who mentally y'all been in a block, y'all been in a funk, you know some things inside of you that you feel, and you haven't been able to find anyone that you can express that to or been able to get it out the right way. She definitely said that her inbox is open, so y'all make sure y'all reach out to her, all right? So, y'all know what to do until next week. Y'all know I'm your boy, Becca. Hold on for a second. I'm going to talk to you for a little bit in the background. But to all of y'all that watched tonight, thank y'all so much. To everybody that downloaded the audio version of this platform, thank y'all so much. And y'all know what I say each and every week. Remember, if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will, right? So, until next week, y'all, I would like to say peace.